Welcome to the press conference. Excuse us for the slight delay with which we're commencing this conference, but without further ado, we have with us today, apart from the cast and crew, the hija de un dragón, a thief's daughter, from left to right, Antonio Chavarrias, producer, Alex Monet, actor, Greta Fernandez, actress, Belet Funes, director and scriptwriter, Eduard Fernandez, actor, Tomas Martin, actor, Marcel Cebrian, scriptwriter, and Alex Lafuente, producer. As of now, you can raise your hand, first row here, please, to ask your questions. Hi, good afternoon. I would like to ask you, one of the things that I most like in the film is what you don't really tell, what's not told about the relationship between father and daughter. So therefore, when preparing the script, how did you work upon that in order to not explain too much about the relationship or what they've had in the past, both characters? And then I'd like to ask Greta, there's something that you tell the dialogue, something you tell your father, I don't remember. When I'm with you, I feel like dying and I don't want to die or something like that. Yeah, when I'm with you, I feel like I'm dying and I don't want to die. I thought that was an incredible piece of dialogue, perhaps the most affected me in the entire film. That moment when you shot that, how did you prepare that? Thank you. As regards to the first question, vis-a-vis the script, one of the things that was most difficult when writing it is that we wanted to explain a film which was in the present, which means that the information of the past, what had happened in the past, well, we'd have to insinuate it and leave clues, but the truth is that the spectator had to construct the before and the after. It was difficult to try to find a balance between providing information and for the film could be understood, but for it to not to be too obvious. And that's what we worked upon when we were writing the script. As regards to that scene, which I think is one of the harshest scenes, shall we say, the toughest scene between our characters, father's and mine, the relationship that exists between both characters, we worked upon it slowly but surely. Sarah really feels it when she says that. So therefore, those words, albeit they were tough to say because it's my father, and to look at him in his eyes and to tell him that it was a tough piece of dialogue, I was concerned that it shouldn't be left in the unconsciousness of both of them. But that scene, we rehearsed it quite a lot, and I think that there weren't a lot of takes, and I'm not too sure. The truth is, it just worked out, and I don't know how I did it, and nor how I said it. You said it very well. Hi, good afternoon, and congratulations for the film. I'd like to ask you, as regards to Sala La Fuga, which is a short film, and you've got a lot of it, you achieve a lot of success in festivals. Was that useful to present this film vis-a-vis financing? Perhaps the producer could say something about that, or whether you've set this up as a completely independent film starting from scratch. Thank you very much. Well, I did a short that's really happened with my friend Carlos Despredre, who's the producer of my first two short films. So therefore, for me, it was a way of entering into the world of film and to find the kind of films that I wanted to make. And the short films helped me for this. So therefore, short film is always a base to experiment on. You test a series of things that you like, and you think, why not you do it vis-a-vis a bigger film? And I think that a director, whenever a director has something to show, it's better to get the money to make the film at the end of the day. But I think the film, more than being a second part of that short film you referred to, is a perpetuation of the character of Sarah later on with different circumstances, because she's become a mother and all of a sudden she's got a baby and she's on her own. But I couldn't imagine it more as a second part. I saw it more as a continue to explore the same character at the end of the day. In order, as a producer, what drew my attention and made me decide. I hadn't seen the short film. I read the script that at that time that I had, which was quite incipient, and to meet Leanne and Marsand. Everything that they've conveyed in the film, the authenticity was in the discourse, the way they approach it, the way they had imagined the film. And that's what convinced me. And then I saw the short and I loved it very much, and it ratified my decision. So I think the fact of wanting to work together was before I saw the short film. Thank you very much. Hi. I have a question as regards to, as you said, the film doesn't explain what happened before in the past between the characters. And I'd like to know how you construct a relationship like that between father and daughter, which is so complicated in the film, without explaining it in the film. And then also the second question is whether when writing the script, you had the temptation of explaining a bit more or of what's explained in the film itself. Me? For example, the script, I'll answer the script. Okay, me. Well, do you see a father-daughter relationship? Well, you don't know where it comes from, but does that exist in the film for you? Good, so therefore it's there. So therefore the script was really well written, and I'm not too, and it's not told, and it's expressly so that Belen and Marsal didn't explain this in the script. It's a result of a series of things. Each spectator puts their own imagination of what might happen, which is a beautiful thing in the film. All of you are highlighting that doesn't exist, and it's very present in everyone's imagination. What doesn't exist, and that has a lot of weight, and I think that's really beautiful. I think, Belen, I made this film because Greta sent it to me. She invited me for a weekend. I read the whole script. I said, Dad, they're sending me the script. I'm the protagonist and we need a father. What do you think is a good idea? And Belen also wanted me to participate because I also knew Belen, Marcol, 3 days in a family. She did a great job. It was good to accompany both of them on this journey. And it's quite logical to accompany them. This portrait that Belen does with so much sobriety upon a Barcelona or Spain, Barcelona in this case, which is not very much told about and told about very honestly and from a very truthful, beautiful place, which might be seem so simple to tell it, but it's very difficult to be able to tell this story with that honesty and truth and to make a film out of all of this. And as regards to the temptations in the script, well, we had a big temptation that we even shot where we explain what had happened between Sarah and Manuel, because it was a way of like, it was like a safeguard, because if you don't understand it, I can set up the sequence and everything's quite clear in everyone's mind. So therefore, during the first, the editing, the sequence was in the film, but then all of a sudden we saw it one day and we said, I remember with Antonio, with Angels, with Alba, we discussed it with Marcel, who's the other scriptwriter. We said, what if we take it out? What would happen? And the film sustained itself better, and it was much more suggestive. So therefore, we did have the temptation of over-explaining things, and it was necessary to have it like a guard, shall we say, in a ship, on the ship of the film. Marcel, do you want to add anything? Yes, the temptation obviously does exist, but the exercise that we wanted to do was to filter it all out, to filter what we were saying and to find a balance of you could understand it without telling that part of the story. And we worked upon this. We had a scene as a resource which could have been used as help, but the rest of the script was already well written so that we could, as a spectator, enter into the film and the relationship without knowing much more, because what we were already providing on the screen, the spectators can fill in all the gaps, so to speak. Hi, good afternoon, congratulations for the film. The director, I'd like to ask a question. Belen Funes, it's your first feature film. This is your premiere in the world of cinema and in official competition at San Sebastian Film Festival. And you're doing it accompanied by Eduard Fernandez, who won the best actor, Silver Shell, because of The Man with a Thousand Faces in 2016. What's your experience? How does it feel to debut in the film with a feature film under those circumstances? My second question would be, for Greta, you've worked with a director that's got a long career, like Isabel Coixet in Elisa and Marcela. Now you're doing it with a director who's a debutante. My question is, how do you address those film projects? And the final question is for Eduardo Fernandez. Ricardo Darín and Chino Darín coincide in the cast. Eduardo Fernandez and Greta Fernandez. That tour de force, does it complicate the composition, or when you're portraying your character, does that make things easier? Well, okay, I'll start. And to answer your question, as regarding being here, for me, it's very strange for me, because this film, I shot it with my friends, which is the way I like to make films. They see the same crew that worked on the short film, on my short films. It's like my film family that has accompanied me over this time and allows to make the film. It's quite incredible to be here, because the other day we were in, which is in Meridiana, where we shot the film, to try to do a scene with Greta while a train was going, with no control about on absolutely anything when we're shooting it. At the end of the thing, it was also homemade, and we did it amongst us. That I feel that Eduard is like, I see Eduard, I don't see Eduard Fernandez, who's come along to make a film with me. So it's all been very homemade, really. I think that's one of the great successes that this film can have, that it's we've been very strong, and we've tried to do it from the place that we knew it the best. And so therefore, to be here is a prize in itself. If we don't receive a prize, all well and good. But for me, the prize is just to be here and to see it, and having made it, because it's very difficult to make films. When I received the script from this film, I was looking forward to being able to participate in it, because I've been working a bit in this profession since I was 16. I had not received a character which is a leading role. I always said I feel like being able to play a leading role too, so I can give a bit more of my vision and my perspective. And it came along, and so therefore I was looking forward that Belen included me. For me, I had the script before even shooting Elisa and Marcela, so I felt like shooting this film here. And for the day, the shooting of the film was very tough. And it was the first time that I'd gone through such an intense shooting of the film with Belen, but I felt that both of us were trying this for the first time, so there was a bit of a sistership here. There was a lot of sistership. We were a big team. Yes, there was a lot of that. And now that the film is here and we're in the official section, which is something that I think that we didn't expect at all, and it's been a very pleasant surprise. And as regards to my father, that I imagine he'll answer as well, I think, yes, that we're being father and daughter in the real life favors the film quite a lot. Undoubtedly, there was something that we didn't have to work upon. There's something that already existed, as Belen said. Then we had to work upon the relationships that we don't have, and it doesn't exist. So that was the tough way of portraying that, and both of us had to confront that. And it was quite interesting to live. The truth is, and I'm going to say something which is obvious, but such is the case, when it's a good, well-written script, you've got to make it. Do what it says there. And it was very well written. Greta says, well, okay, what would it have been like, Daddy, if we'd got along really badly and we had to do father and daughter, if they got along, we wouldn't have been able to find that situation. But we've got a good relationship, Greta and I, and to play this relationship, which is such a bad relationship, really. But as it's well written, it's easy. We played a lot. We were saying, Dad, how do we do this? Perhaps it's going to be tough. One day, perhaps, it might affect our relationship. Perhaps we might, one of the two of us will start crying or something. We'll say, no, it was all very normal, quite simple. We enjoyed ourselves very much. But we were very well accompanied, not only by Belen, but also Tomas Alex Moner, who is one of my favorite actors. He knows that. And so she set up a very good cast, Belen, and we went step by step following the script, which isn't that easy in Belen. It was very clear in her mind what to tell and how to tell and how to take every step. And we backed her up all the way. It was very good, and it's exciting to be here to drool and see how my daughter is up there on the screen. Alex or Tomas, do you want to add anything regarding this shoot? Alex or Tomas, would you like to add anything? No, it was a luxury for me to work with all of them, the truth. I'm not too sure. I'm very proud of Greta when she showed me the script. Thank you very much that you've surrounded yourself with people who you love so much. It was very easy to work with her and was well with Belen. It was a pleasure to see how Belen worked with Nelly and with their DOP. And it was a very cross-sectional relationship there, which is normally with men's cast and crew is very difficult. But I had to say that. I felt I had to say that. And I'm very happy that the film has come this far. Tomas, you want to say anything? I've liked working with all of them, and it was very easy to work with them, with Belen and Alex and Greta and everyone else. Did you have a good time? Did you have a good time? That's an important thing. Hi, everyone. Congratulations for this splendid film from my point of view with brilliant portrayals. I would like to ask you, especially Belen, specifically, this film, this character contrasts with the crazy people that normally come in our film industry. I'm sorry, but I say that adolescents who are insecure with complexes, Peter Pans. But she's all the contrary. She's a fighter who knows who she wants. She wants to be normal. I want to be normal. Is that the key, do you think, of the film? Well, initially, I think when we're used to seeing film of young people, and almost all the films are a start off of the experiencing sex or whatever. There are many films that deal with it, but what I wanted is that all of a sudden Greta played a role that she's already learned everything. She's at 21, she knows everything. She's done everything. She's had to live through so many things that there's no one, she's got nothing to do. They can't teach her much more because she knows everything. So therefore, I think that that's where the feeling that, I always felt that we showed this on the script to remind us with Marsal that it was a girl that had to have rings under her eyes. And we always said that she had to look like a young girl, but she lived sufficiently to be able to stop being a girl. So that's perhaps where this idea that you're talking about, that it's a character who's living a youth that perhaps she hasn't lived because of her age. She should be doing other things. And now she's just trying to survive in an environment which is very hostile. Hi. I'd like to ask you about the auditive problems, the hearing problems. Is there any specific reason of that decision? Was there any effect? Was it difficult to interpret that, portray that as a character? She wears a hearing aid because we open a window to a past in which something had happened to her here, which could have been different things, violence, or she may have had an infection and the father didn't take her to the doctor. And so she's got a chronic otitis or a hearing illness. And it's another aspect. Then all of a sudden, to have the leading actress or the leading role, to have a leading actress who had something in her body that in a certain way, she carried it along with her, and it didn't make her be a terminator, a tough, that is, she had difficulties of the relationship with the world. And we tried to explain that through the hearing aid. Is she's not a machine, she's a human, and this is what she's got to get along. And quite curiously, Greta had one made to fit her, and it was true, and it did work, and she wore it for 6 weeks in her ear. And we wanted to be very rigorous with all of these aspects. And we've, in the film, there are moments in which she gets some batteries for her, the hearing aid, and she gets an ear infection. And we wanted to be really, yes, it did affect me when I portrayed my role. The truth is I used to hear much less from one ear than the other ear. And that helped me a little bit because there was something that was blocking my ear. It was uncomfortable, but then I got used to it. But there was something there that I suppose from the outside makes you feel a bit sad. But for me, I used it in the character as a prop, as something else, integrating as something else that the character needed. Just like Sarah did, exactly the same way. Yeah, I had a few things here. I had some skin irritation. It's a film in which a spectator has to be an accomplice. We have to complete a lot of things. The mothers don't appear, for example. The title, what is it referred to? A thief of affection or not? Because he's left the jail. Because the two issues. And the truth is, I think you got it right to reflect a harsh social life without any tricks. The script, and the directors and the actors have managed to achieve this. There's two, the precarious situation and solitude. These two issues are the two sides of the same coin, or there's one that was more interested in the other. I don't know. Well, I was interested to reflect upon the solitude of a character, loneliness in which where she's receiving information, people is always looking at their mobile to see if anyone said something, and we have to meet someone somewhere via the mobile, but nobody calls her on the mobile at all. It's as if she's a character. I always thought about Sarah, and we had talked about this in the script. Who is going to go to her when she might die, to a burial, probably Danny, and that's it. And a son. And it's a character who's very alone in a period in which we're all ultra hyper communicated. And I want to talk about loneliness and to see and what people do to stop being alone instead of exploring loneliness. How does she move it? Which way she goes to stop feeling like that lonely? Perhaps she's failed her relationship with the father of her son because she wanted to love him so much that he's probably drowned him in love. So therefore I wanted to know which way she was going to solve this thing that she has inside. She feels that she's very lonely, and she has to talk solemnly about loneliness. I think that was not the only thing that I wanted to do. Well, what happened to the film, perhaps like as a spectator almost, because all of the questions that have to be answered that are still in the air in the film, that is to say, to try to answer for us or anyone to answer them, is that that's what the film talks about, that void. That's the way it works. You've got that feeling which is a certain void, and that's the feeling, I think that's a beautiful feeling that the film leaves you. As regards the title, the idea beyond metaphors that you can make, obviously, was to mark from the title itself the inheritance received by her, that is, or her entire life is marked by being abandoned, and everything her father, because of action or inaction, has transmitted to her and conveyed to her. And there's something that we can't escape, is that you're always going to be the daughter of who you are, and you're not going to be able to escape from that. And as the circumstances are inherited between parents and children, I think the title is more than emotional. He's been in jail because he was a thief, and he comes out and she's the daughter of a thief, and she's never going to stop be doing that. And that nexus, which is the family and blood, which is almost indestructible, we open up the discussion in the film that perhaps you might love you want your father further away than closer. Hi, good morning, congratulations for the film. And it's true that it has so many ghosts and so many elephants in the room, so to speak, but this working class that we don't see, the lawyers as well, she speaks Spanish in a Catalonia which is going through a process that obviously she's going to find out in the street. I'd like you to tell us about why she speaks Spanish and what political approach did you want to address from the political standpoint. Well, she speaks Spanish because it's the same thing that happens to me. This is my parents are from abroad. They came to live in Barcelona to make a living, and I've always spoken to them and communicated with them in Spanish. And I'm being in Barcelona, I'm surrounded by people who speak Catalan. I answer them in Spanish, they answer me in Catalan. In the same conversation, people change. Eduardo Marsal, within a conversation, can talk to me half in Catalan and half in Spanish, and some other language at the same time. So therefore, I feel what I wanted to do was reflect that things are neither that white or that clear, that gray. The important thing is to understand each other. I'm sorry, we can't hear it through without the mic. Sorry. Yes. And that there's no political reference. That is to say, that it's interesting that there's no political reference. Yes, I must say that I've carried out a study of flags in the city of Barcelona. It's true that the more peripheral outskirt neighborhoods where there's greater difficulties, the flags disappear quite a lot. That's why there's no reference to what's going on in Barcelona, in Catalonia. People are and are not thinking about other things. And I think it's a good way of talking about politics. Time for one final question, if you'd be so kind. Hi, good afternoon. I'd like to ask, you've talked about what is inherited or what the character of Greta inherits from her father. And I'd like to talk about what the daughter or the son is going to, inherit from Greta. There's a relationship there with scenes in which the baby is crying. The music, she turns up the volume, and when she cuts her nails with her teeth, could you talk a little bit about that relationship with her and her little baby? Well, we made a lot of jokes with Edu and Greta. We said in 20 years' time, we can shoot this film. It's Greta with her son, going back upon the same conversations, the same fights. But now the protagonist would be her and the baby. But she's going through a maternity situation, which is not what you see in the TV advertisements where everyone loves each other. She's in another type of maternity situation. She looks at her son. She doesn't know what the son, she doesn't even know why she's had it and what time she thought it was a good idea to have the child. But she's got a commitment with her son. She's very committed to the baby. What she's not got too much emotion, but her commitment of taking care of him and her custody of him is indisputable. And what happens is it's very difficult because she doesn't know, because Sarah doesn't have the emotional tools to communicate, is to love it. But to love someone, you've got to have been taught to love beforehand. And she can't do this. That's not her situation. So that's a way of... The baby allowed me to talk about Sarah more than talking about the baby itself. This emerged in the documentation or the research that we did, which was quite long, and we got to meet a lot of girls who had come out of these centers when your parents abandon you, etc. And these flats in which she lived, these social flats. So, and we realized that there did exist a will of doing things differently. And what Elena's just meant, she's not received any sentimental education, which is quote unquote normal. I don't know whether that exists or not, but we could understand it as such. And they repeated some of the mistakes that they had lived through, and that's how it all emerged. Did you see? That's how Belen directed. You see how clear she looks from what, how honestly she says things. That's the way she directs in the same way. She's marvelous. Thank you very much, everyone.